back, folks. Good to have you with us here on the Mark Steiner Show on our continuing look at this election we're about to face tomorrow to see where that all ends up. On the way back, on the way to this conversation, to hear the voice of the youth in our young people in our community, where they are politically, what they're thinking about, what the issues are that they want to talk about. I want to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by the Maryland State Education Association. From school funding to testing, you can learn about the important issues affecting Maryland students, parents, and schools by visiting the Maryland State Education Association's website at MarylandEducators.org. That's MarylandEducators.org. Or at SteinerShow.org is Maryland State Education Association's banner. So, Juju is here with your comments at 410-319-8888. You can tweet us at Mark Steiner, comment on the Mark Steiner Show Facebook page, or send us an email to talk@steinershow.org. We are joined now by Lindsey Jackson, Baltimore City Coordinator for the Hip Hop Caucus, which promotes youth voting through programs that register and educate young people. And good to have you with us. Welcome to the studio, Lindsey.
Thank you for having me.
And we are also joined by phone by Kayla Tarrant. Kayla Tarrant is a University of Maryland student. She's an intern at the Advancement Project, a multiracial civil rights organization, and co-partner of We Built This, a digital campaign to engage black millennials through and beyond the November election, and also is the author of a recent article in the Huffington Post, The Suppression of Student Votes is a Real Thing. And Kayla, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Hello. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm glad you're here. So where do we begin here? There's so much to talk about. I want to get this cross-fertilization between your ideas about this election. But let me just begin talking about the work you both do. And let me start with you, Kayla, and we'll go over to Lindsey. To talk a bit about yourself. Your article on voter suppression was really fascinating that you wrote, Kayla, for the Huffington Post, because it really kind of delineates the places how this country is kind of in certain areas, Indiana, North Carolina, southern very more conservative states, are doing their best to stop the youth vote, stop the college vote from taking place. Talk a bit about what you found.
So what we're seeing is there is an intentional effort to keep black millennials away from the voting location. So we're seeing this with strict voter ID laws that don't allow for student IDs, but do allow for things like gun registration, which specifically targets a certain type of voter. We're seeing issues with polling locations being moved off campuses, which makes it very difficult for students without cars or other means of transportation to be able to cast their ballot. We're seeing that particularly in states like North Carolina, where polling locations are being moved off campus. We're seeing long wait times for students. So even if you do have the ability to vote on campus, if it's not adequate, if it's not efficient, it's also not going to be effective for the students to be able to cast their ballot if it's going to take them 2 and 3 hours. And these students have classes they need to get to and jobs they need to get to. So these long wait times also have a large impact. So we're seeing an intentional effort to curb the ability for black millennials to cast their ballot.
So, and this kind of, how does this affect the work you've been doing, Lindsey? I'm curious, around the country, what your fellows and sisters and comrades are saying from your group.
So it affects us tremendously because the Hip Hop Caucus now, we're in a national campaign called Respect My Vote, where we're trying to raise the number of young people to get out and actually vote. Because we know that voters make up almost 20% of the voter population. And about 45% of those young people voted in the last presidential election. So this is new to me. This is my first time saying this article, but it really affects our campaign tremendously.
So I'm curious what you both think about the vote itself. I mean, and what has happened? Is this your first election you can vote in, Kayla?
This is the first presidential election that I've been able to vote in at 21 years old. I voted in all my local elections as well, but this is my first presidential election, and it matters a lot to me.
And how about you?
This is my third.
This is your third?
Yes.
All right, a little older. You had three presidential elections. You voted in 2008 as well?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So those elections previous excited young populations here, it seems to me, in the race for president when Barack Obama was running for president, at least in the 2008. People seem to be excited across the board racially in America, young people with the Bernie Sanders campaign. So I'm curious how you would define this young vote and why he gets so excited about what just happened in this primary and what happened with Barack Obama, but doesn't seem to be coming out in droves in support as a in this election. At least that's what some of the numbers are telling us. What are your thoughts about that?
Black millennials are still engaged, we're still enthusiastic, and we still care about our issues in these elections. So you are seeing some frustration, but that means that we care. Black millennials are not apathetic about our issues. So you're seeing us both voting, you're seeing us protesting, you're seeing us organizing. So that engagement is still there. We're just using a multitude of tools to make sure that our voices are heard and that the changes that we need to see are actually going to be made, both on Election Day and the time coming after that as well. We're going to stay engaged after tomorrow, November 8th.
And I actually like Kayla because she just took the words right out of my mouth. So I ditto everything that Kayla just said, but I think the difference between Bernie and, I guess some folks would say we're not too excited now, is because Bernie came right out of the gate and he was tackling some of the issues that have been on our head for a long time. College tuition reform as one. And when we switched over to Hillary, you know, we realized that, one, we're frustrated, and we know that we have to tackle our issues in different directions.
So, you know, when you think of what you wrote, Kayla, I'm curious what are people saying about how that has affected the ability for college young people to vote in these elections? I mean, there's so many states now that are not allowing people to use a college ID as an ID. Now that so many states are requiring IDs for the first time. So what have you learned?
So there are several states that are, you know, trying to suppress the student vote with the student voter ID laws. However, we're not going to be stopped. So we're going to make sure that we're able to get the appropriate identification. We're going to make sure that we get registered. So even though it definitely has been a hindrance towards these college students, that doesn't mean that we're going to give up. That doesn't mean that we're going to stop fighting or be scared away from casting our ballots and making our voices heard. We're going to continue to come, and we're going to continue to vote despite whatever barriers are put in our place. We're going to keep working through and to get these policies that target students struck down. We're going to continue to make sure that we are able to vote this election.
You know, and as you wrote in the article, there are seven states here that are not allowing students to use IDs, student IDs, college IDs, to be able to vote. That's huge. I mean, this is clearly, there's a clear push here in this country for voter suppression. I mean, to keep down the vote of young people and especially communities of color. But I wonder what you two think is at stake. You represent a generation that's, you know, the generation of this 21st century, the generation that's going to help define what America becomes. So I'm curious, what do you think is at stake for you in this election? How would you describe it? I wonder how would you talk about it on the dinner table?
The success of an entire generation is on the line right now. So we're concerned with things like student loan debt, which disproportionately impacts minority students who tend to have more money in student loans. We're looking at state violence, which disproportionately impacts young black people. And so our success and our ability to live and to thrive in this country is on the line this election. And so it goes all the way from the local elections all the way up to the presidential elections. Everything that we want for ourselves and for our families is essentially on the ballot this election, which is why it's so important that black millennials vote and stay engaged after the election, because everything we ever want is what we're voting for tomorrow.
Please jump in, Lindsay.
And once again, Kayla. So here's what it is. This election has everything at stake. It's either we're going to continue to go forward, or the city, or the country, and I'm going to switch it to the local in a little bit.
All right.
Or the country is going to go a way that we don't want it to go. Now, locally, I believe that local elections are just as important as presidential elections and national elections, because the things that happen locally affects us first before things that happen nationally affects us. Citywide, we have a lot of things going on. We have a new council coming in that's really pushing for the $15 minimum wage. We have a new mayor administration coming in. Not sure who it will be at this point, but tomorrow we'll definitely know who the new mayor will be. And we have a lot of bond bills that's on the ballot that means a lot for the city, school construction and things of that sort. So here in Baltimore, the Respect My Vote campaign, Hip Hop Caucus, we're really pushing for the millennials to get out not only for the presidential election, not only for Hillary, but also for the local elections, because this election right here for the city means a lot for us.
Now, Kelly, I know you're in College Park, but your roots are here in Baltimore.
Yes. So my roots are definitely here in Baltimore. I did vote for my local officials in Baltimore City because I think that's where the most important election is for me. We're voting for our mayor, and I thought it was very important that I be involved with the city that I grew up in and made sure that I voted for those Baltimore officials.
So, you know, to talk about what it is you both do to try to encourage this youth vote. I mean, there's a lot being said that young people are disillusioned, that people are not going to vote, that students are actively involved in Black Lives Matter and other things are not going to be part of this election. Some people argued in this program from your generation that there's no difference between the two. So why should we even bother to vote for either one? That's not what's important. That only local is important. So, I mean, Kayla, how would you respond to that?
So that's not really even true. There's important reasons to vote for, you know, the candidates that you really feel like represent your values and the things that you want for yourself. These millennials do care about the specific issues that the different candidates represent. In the We Built This campaign that I'm a part of, Black millennials, the digital campaign, are showing the things that they are a part of the changes that happen in this country, and the people that they vote for are going to directly impact what happens to them. And we saw this where we see people that really support Marilyn Mosey. We saw this in Chicago with Bi Anita. So who you vote for does matter. It's not just, you know, everybody's the same. Candidates represent issues that are going to have major impacts on the lives of Black millennials. So the candidates you choose, be informed about them and make sure that they represent the values that you think are important.
So if hip-hop Congress is active in the city, what have you done? I mean, what have you done in terms of getting out the vote?
So the Hip-Hop Caucus is a national organization. The Baltimore chapter is about a year old now. We started right after the uprising here in Baltimore. So far, we have had a DOJ Youth Summit, which actually happened in October, where we had 100 young people come with DOJ representatives, and they actually, which was the first only, must I add, youth summit on the DOJ report that the DOJ was actually at in the city. And we had 100 people come, and they talked to the DOJ. They gave their recommendations for the consent decree. After that, we moved right into the Respect My Vote campaign, which is where we use tastemakers, which is influential DJs, party promoters, artists.
Gotcha. Okay. Right. Okay.
We use the tastemakers. They had a photo shoot. They're promoting it over social media. We're helping taking people to the polls to just get millennials out to vote. So right now we're in the midst of our Respect My Vote campaign nationally and citywide.
So and Kayla, what about the work you've been doing?
Yes. Yeah, so we've been working with the We Built This campaign to make sure that Black millennial voters are aware of what their rights are. They're informed of what needs to happen if they're faced with voter suppression. So we're making sure that they have the support that they need and the information that they need to feel comfortable about making their vote, and then support them on Election Day and after Election Day to remain engaged and to be able to vote freely in this country. So the We Vote This campaign has really just made sure that Black millennials know everything they need to know in order to make their vote tomorrow.
So I really, I'd like to know from both your perspectives what you think is at stake here. You know, we hear a lot from commentators that are older, I should say. But I'm very curious to see what you think is at stake in this election. And you know, why it's important to either one of you. Kayla, go ahead.
This election is just really important to me because as a student, I need to make sure that as a Black student, that I'm going to have job opportunities when I leave school, to make sure that the discrimination isn't there. I need to make sure, you know, for myself and for my friends, that this debt is not going to crush my opportunities. I need to make sure that no matter how many degrees you have, whether you have one or not, I'm still Black, living in Black skin in America. Police violence and state violence needs to come to an end, and there's no way you can educate or earn yourself out of a Black body in America. So making sure that people respect Black lives in this country, that's why this election matters so much to me, because it doesn't matter, you know, if I get through school, and it doesn't matter if I don't have any debt, if I can't simply take my next breath. And that goes for both me and all the other Black millennials that I know and care about as well.
And this election means to me police reform. I feel like locally and nationally, I feel as though police reform really have to be looked at and we need to really figure out what it looks like and implement it. I think with this election, as I said before, a lot is at stake. Racial justice is at stake. I feel like urban communities and them getting the resources that they really need are at stake. I feel like health care is a big issue with this election, and that's at stake. So I'm going to keep going back to it. This election is important because everything is on the table. Everything that's important that you think of, that you don't think of, is actually on the line locally and nationally. And locally, and I'm going to keep bringing it back down to Baltimore, the $15 minimum wage, a new mayor administration, a new council. It's a lot at stake, and it's really what would pan our city for the next 10, 15 years.
And it seems to be also, jumping back to you again, Lindsay, for just a second, I mean, this election in Baltimore, there could be up to 8 candidates, maybe fewer than that, that are elected in this election that are of your generation, are millennials.
Yes. We have about eight candidates that could be elected tomorrow night that will be millennials, that are millennials. And the council people that's going out been on the council for more than 3 terms. So this is a new look with new ideas, and they're going to look at things differently. And I have conversations with many of them, and they're really worried about young people and the safety of our city.
Kayla, I mean, I know millennials are not some monolithic group. And there are millennials voting for Donald Trump as well as millennials voting for Clinton, and millennials who are just disgusted, and some voting for Green, and some, I guess, voting Libertarian as well. So, I mean, how do you think of that when we try to define millennials as this one kind of monolithic group and who you all are, Kayla?
So millennials definitely are not a monolith. Like you said, we do have different values, and that goes from place to place and from individual to individual. We want different things, but as a whole, we all want, you know, what's best for our generation. We all want to be able to be successful. We all want to be able to have good careers, to be happy, to live, to be safe, to live without fear in this country. And so there are certain things that span different backgrounds, that's not dependent on who you plan to vote for tomorrow. There's things that we all want as people in this country for ourselves, and we have to think about what matters to us as individuals and then vote whoever is going to best represent what you feel like is most important
exactly.
for yourself.
Folks, do join us here, 410-319-8888. Your thoughts and comments. Maybe you're of the generation yourself. Want to hear your ideas and thoughts. Maybe you have comments for these folks on the show right now about where this young vote means and where this country may be going. 410-319-8888. Our guests are Lindsay Jackson, who is Baltimore City Coordinator for the Hip Hop Caucus, which promotes youth voting through its programs, registering and educating people to vote, young people to vote, and Kayla Tarrant, a student at the University of Maryland, intern at the Advancement Project, which is a multiracial civil rights organization and anchor partner of the We Built This, a digital campaign to engage black millennials through and beyond the November election. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Stephen on the phone. Welcome.
Wow, thank you so much, and I'm very inspired by your two, young millennials. I'm an older millennial. I'm about to turn 35, born in 81. So, us older ones have a little bit different experience coming out after 2001. So, a lot of us, have been in wars, been through both recessions that have happened. Since Bush, I should say, both recessions since Bush and Obama. And I would say we've become a little bit more apathetic about, what good voting does. I have been a voter organizer. When I was in 2004, I worked with the National Hip Hop Political Convention, Black Youth Vote, all the people, Lisa Sager, everybody that you all know, worked with them. So seeing where we are, the figureheads change, but the issues are still the same, if not worse. Climate change becoming an issue as it is.
Uh-huh.
Just the apathy has taken hold, I think, on not just me, but on a lot of people of, my middle 30s generation. Not only that, but, most of us are raising kids. And trying to understand how lead paint can be such a constant issue and not be addressed? I would love to hear from your guests, you know, who the candidates are. They feel like, I know they, you know, they're with nonpartisan organizations, and that kind of defeats, you know, the ability to speak on candidates.
Right, right. Right?
But, you know, what, because that would mess with their money. But, you know, what, which candidates in the city are going to address lead paint? Who's going to address the court decree requiring Baltimore City to pay for all of the Baltimore City water bill, people that receive water bills from Baltimore City, requiring them to pay for the maintenance and care of the pipes in the city? You know, it's all on the backs of the poor and people my age. You know what I mean? Who's gonna address that?
Stephen, you're raising really some critical questions, the ones that are going to be the questions of the future, and you all are the future. So, Kayla, how would you respond to what he was saying?
So, first, I don't think that millennials are apathetic. I think we're showing that we care in a multitude of different ways, and you see that's taking off in social media, that's then represented on the streets through protests, through organizing, and also through voting. So because voting's not the only way that we show that we care, we are definitely not an apathetic group of people. We really care and are involved and engaged in our issues. We are a nonpartisan group, but just making sure that you really look into those candidates, look what they've supported in the past, to make sure that they're going to, you know, continue to, you know, support Black people in the city of Baltimore into the future. So just making sure that you're looking at the track record of the people that you plan to vote for, and make sure that they represent the issues that are going to matter to Black millennials. That's, you know, the minimum wage, it's state violence, it's healthcare. So all of those things that really are going to have a large impact on Black people. So just looking into those issues and how they have stood on them in the past, and not just that, you know, what they're saying for tomorrow. Look at their actions and make sure they align with what they're saying.
Now, Lindsay, you know, the caller, before we go to our next caller, Malik, hold on, we're going to get to your call in just a second. I wanted to, what he was raising, some of the issues you were kind of alluding to. I mean, we have not just a DOJ report, but in the city, the question of lead paint is a huge issue. If you're a young father or mother in this town, you want to make sure your kid is safe. They're still not safe from being destroyed like Freddie Gray was destroyed, just by the lead paint itself and the infrastructure. These things you're going to have to face. I mean, in terms of how does the government put their hands around what some estimate, the one I was reading the other day, that it would cost $3.6 trillion to rebuild the infrastructure of America. $3.6 trillion.
Mm-hmm. And at the same time, the city right now, we're under a consent decree and just received an extension because we're well behind schedule to improve our infrastructure. But to just speak on what the caller said about who, the Hip Hop Caucus is a nonpartisan organization and a nonprofit. So I can't really name who you should vote for, but I can say who I have heard bring up a lot of those issues. And from the new council, which is the new council, 8 new millennials that would be coming in. I think Shannon is a little out of that, but the 8 new council, I've heard Zeke bring up education, Zeke Cohen in the first district. I heard Brandon Scott all the time. He's a current councilman. He's not a part of the new coming in, but he's brought up a lot on police reform. He brought up a lot on actually figuring out what's going on over there with our money and not taxing our citizens. I heard a lot of current candidates that will be on this ballot tomorrow bring up a lot of those issues. But after we vote for them, we have to make sure that they don't just forget about what they brought up during the election campaign and they actually do what they said they would do.
410-319-8888. Let's squeak another caller in here. And it's Malik. You're on the air. Welcome.
Good man voice. I appreciate it, Mark. A lot of people, what they're saying is speaking to my heart. And I kind of wanted to add one more thing, my perspective. I'm 43 years old, but I feel like, first of all, you got to, like, know the history and know that the fight of our ancestors is what we have to keep going. And I think what happened is people got complacent. And when you get complacent, then things start going against you. And I think I had a post on Facebook about don't allow your hatred for Trump to make you complacent for Hillary Clinton. And that really is my way of summing up everything that you're talking about. We have to continue to ensure that the politicians are going to hear us out and are going to address issues that affect us. Because, you know, as much as I can't stand Donald Trump, he's not responsible for the disparity amongst the school systems, where there are certain schools that get more money than others. I'm not going to go into that too deep, but you have to deal with, you don't want to get complacent. And that's kind of the same sentiment that I'm echoing, that we're saying, because there's not too much more I can say that because it's already been said.
No, but you, Malik, I appreciate the call. And Kayla, how would you respond?
So it is definitely important to remain engaged throughout. Being involved civic engagement is not a one-day thing. Voting on November 8th is not the end of your participation. Every single day, you need to make sure that your needs are being met, that your voice is being represented by the people that you put into office, and that they are there to represent you. And so this goes on every single day, 365 days a year, to make sure that your voice is continuously being heard, that the things that you want and that you need for your communities are going to happen in your schools, in your neighborhoods, in your places of worship, wherever that may be that matters to you. You're going to continue to fight for these issues well beyond tomorrow. And so you can't get complacent after you've, you know, cast your ballot and said, I'm done. You can't be done after November 8th. You have to continue to fight for the things that matter to you every single day.
Every single day. And just to add on to Kayla, what Kayla just said, after tomorrow, that's not the end. It's every single day. It's 365 days of the year. And one of these quotes that I pass out all the time on social media, and actually our founder, Reverend Yearwood, bring this up a lot also, demonstration without legislation leads to frustration. So we have to not just be, you know, all fired up and ready to go when something don't go wrong, and then we're not out there holding our legislators to the bat. We're not out there, you know, voting. We're not out there doing anything to really, really affect change.
Let's get one more quick call in here before we hit the break. Wayne, you're on the air. Welcome. Hi, Wayne. Good morning.
I'd like to just comment on what you mentioned a few minutes ago. Infrastructure, you said something like $3 trillion
right.
You know, worth of infrastructure. I believe, you know, our infrastructure consists of not only our roads and bridges, it's also our water systems. We have pollutants in our water today that didn't exist when our water systems, when our filtration systems were built. And these things need to be updated throughout the entire country. And the water runoff that we have is going straight into our streams without any kind of purification or anything. Our electrical system is 50, 60, 70 years old. That's the main power lines coming into our communities are that old, and they need to be rebuilt. And the problem is all this stuff that was built, 50, 60, 70 years ago was not maintained on a scale that was needed. And now it's all dilapidated,
right,
and not up to standard. And because the people who put it in there, they sucked it up and paid the bill for it up front. And the people who received it after that figured, oh, it's already there. It'll be there forever. We don't have to maintain it. And that's been our big problem. We have
right,
to maintain it. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Wayne. So there's some closing thoughts from the two of you, because that is one of the things that your generation is going to have to tackle, among many other things, then where jobs are going to go with automation, changing the nature of the economy, how the digital economy is changing everything, all that stuff is stuff you're going to be facing. So, Kayla Tarrant, and then we'll start and then go to Lindsey Jackson. Tell me a bit about what you all plan to do post-election and where you think this is headed. Hi, Kayla, you there?
Yes. Okay. So post-election, we're going to continue to work on the issues that impact Black people as a whole and Black millennials. So we're going to keep fighting for better schools. We're going to keep fighting for investment in our communities to make sure that we are going to be taken care of after November the 8th. So we're going to make sure that we have better communities day in and day out. And so that goes from, our education to our safety to state violence, all of that. We're going to continue to fight for equality for all people here in America.
And where's the Hip Hop Caucus taking us?
Okay, post-election, we're going to follow up on our youth summit with the DOJ on police reform. And last summer, we also partnered with Mayor Rawlins Blake and did summer block parties. We did 21 block parties in neighborhoods that have either high juvenile crime or high teenage pregnancy rate or a high number of free or reduced lunch kids in the neighborhood, where we brought a lot of resources from the Family League, from the school system, the Boys and Girls Club, Girl Scouts, to these neighborhoods and gave young people and families resources. And we're currently in Standing Rock with the national team planning a fundraising concert for November the 26th. So the Baltimore chapter of the Hip Hop Caucus will be up and running pretty sure by the end of this year, and you'll hear a lot more from us.
Well, good. I hope you hear more from you on this program from both of you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
This has been great. Lindsey Jackson is Baltimore City Coordinator for the Hip Hop Caucus. Kayla Turan is a student at the University of Maryland and an intern in the Advancement Project, as well as an anchor partner of We Built This. So, Kayla Turan, Lindsey Jackson, thank you so much for your commitment and work. Good to have you here in the studio.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for all the millennials out there who call in and make this show possible as well. And now we're going to hear from even younger millennials coming up in high school who are fighting for something else in Baltimore. Stay with us. We'll be right back.